May the meditation of my heart and the Amen. Once upon a time, at the first half of the 19th century, in 1849, a small group of Episcopalians gathered to start a congregation in Rockford. By the grace of God, they grew and prospered. First, a wooden church out there and next to the church in the yard in the corner. Then the stone church next door. And finally, the building we're in today. It was a story repeated over and over again in communities throughout northern Illinois. I guess there were enough Yankees, Easterners, and Anglican immigrants settling here to want the good old-time religion that they had known elsewhere in the Book of Common Prayer. You've probably heard the joke about the Episcopalians being kind of the last to arrive, which in this part of the country is not exactly true. Methodists, of course, were famous for their circuit riders on horses. But Bishop Philander Chase, who helped establish this parish, came on by horseback until he got to weigh 350 pounds, and then he had to ride by carriage. Amid all the ups and downs of those years, this congregation remained faithful to what we call the Great Commission, found in Matthew 28. It goes like this: Go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. In today's gospel, there's also something which we might call the mission statement of Jesus. It's from the first reading in the book of Isaiah. It goes like this: The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This church, you and I, are still bringing good news to those who don't have any. We are still being called to help oppressed and exploited people find life and assist them in rolling out God's plan, the plan where justice and peace may prevail. It's not just for others, but it's also for ourselves as also. And it's not just the physical, but the mental, the emotional, and the spiritual. Soon we'll be giving out annual reports at the meeting downstairs that have summaries of the various accomplishments done this past year by organizations and individuals. But what is not there are the hidden transformational acts and affects which touched the hearts, minds, and bodies of persons who encountered Christ here in each of you. Jesus is still doing these things because he is in you doing them. We are his hands and his feet and his mind and his words in the world. Hope is gained for those starving, be it in body or soul. Captives experience freedom, whether they are prisoners in a jail or in a mansion, locked away from fulfillment and happiness. The blind receive sight, whether it's a cataract surgery that we care for pastorally, or the scales of prejudice falling from the eyes of a bigot. The oppressed are set free, be it oppression by a political force or administration, or a chemical dependency. So pause for a moment with me and think of those acts of love and charity, the things you helped to make happen. Who else happened with you in doing those things? Who else helped? Who seemed to be there over and over again? How few or how many got things done. Some did a lot, others did little. But St. Paul reminds us today in the epistle that each part of the body is important. And the body, of course, is the church, and each one of you are the parts. He has 3 points. All members of the church have gifts of ministry. The members of the church have different gifts. We are not clones of each other. And thirdly, the gifts that come to life, these different gifts, in the context of and for the whole church, seen and unseen. The state of Emmanuel Church is strong. But we are not strong in and of ourselves. We are made strong because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our power is not our own strength, but in the redeeming love of God. As Paul has written, our power is made perfect in our weakness, not in our strength. I will boast all the more, he says, of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Whenever I am weak, then I am strong. How much freedom this allows us. For instead of reassuring ourselves that we on our own have made ourselves strong, we are able to throw ourselves joyfully upon the mercy of God. We are weak, but Christ is strong. We have work to do, but it is work God has called us to continue and that God will continue to support. We have failed, but we are given another chance. We have sinned, but we are forgiven. There is more room here, room to honestly examine ourselves in this time of transition, and then to go and work and invite the grace of God to come and help us in our weakness and transform our lives. So, my dear people of God, the people I have come to know and love in these last 3 months all over again, and the fondness I have for you. Here, the state of the church is made strong this day through your presence, but also through our weakness and vulnerability, but aided always by the power of Almighty God. We are made strong by the presence of Jesus Christ in our hearts, in our midst, and in our altar. Now that is something worth hearing every year at those annual meetings. Amen.